This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the most beautiful deen and a religion. A deen which Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The deen in the eyes of Allah is Islam. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. Allah has liked and Allah has chosen Islam as a way of life for us. Allah ta'ala ne hame bahut khubsurat deen se hame nawaza hai. Aur ye deen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne hamare liye pasand farmaya. And this particular deen was supposed to be for all times. It was not only to be in the time of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was supposed to be for humanity till the end of time. یہ دین نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے زمانے کے لیے صرف نہیں تھا, یہ تو پورے عالم کے لیے قیامت تک کے لیے ہے. Now the aspect is, how do we preserve that deen to be till the day of قیامت? How do we preserve? If Allah has made this deen for entire humanity till the day of judgment, how is that particular deen going to remain and be preserved till the day of قیامت? یہ ایک سوال ہے. جب یہ قیامت تک ہے تو اس کو جنہیں حفاظت کس طرح سے ہوگا? There is only one way that we can make mention with regard to this deen being till the day of قیامت, and that is through the means of da'wah and tabligh, through the means of preservation, through the means of propagating all the time. This deen will remain alive till the day of judgment. Otherwise, after our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's passing away, you see, after this deen has to remain. Ye deen ko hamesha baqi rehna hai. And despite our weakness, we cannot fathom an existence without this deen. We cannot fathom an existence without this deen. We cannot think. And we can, how will we remain without Islam? Hamare kamzoriya ke bawajood, hum to tasawwur hi bhi nahi kar sakte hai ki hamari zindagi Islam ke baghair mumkin hai. Ye to ho hi nahi sakta. Despite our weakness, we got our weakness, but we can't think that we can ever live without Islam. And reminds me about the statement of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the time of, you know, after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, there was great amount of challenges. And in that much of that challenges, there were people who were becoming murtad, who wanted to go out to the fold of Islam. There were those who wanted to come with different versions of Islam. One of them said, we will remain on Muslim. We will remain on Islam. Hum zakat nahi denge. We won't give zakat. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the other sahaba said, Abu Bakr, there are so many challenges. There are people who are going out of the fold of Islam. Abu Bakr, leave them alone. They are prepared to be Muslims. They only don't want to give zakat. Wo musalman rehna chahte hai, sirf zakat ada nahi karna chahte hai. Unko chhod do. To Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said a statement that must echo our sentiments. He said, Ayun qasuddin wa ana hayyun. Deen must become less and diminished what it was in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I must remain alive. What is the use of my life? What is the use of my life? The deen must be less than what was in the time of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So despite our weakness, my dear respected brothers, we want the entirety of deen to be prevalent amongst us, amongst our community, and amongst the world. Yes, there are sometimes situations of human weakness, the situations of circumstances that doesn't happen. But that is our ideal. And this is, how is that ideal going to be? How is Islam going to be preserved? It is going to be preserved by da'wah, by the means of telling people about Islam, tazkir and nasihat, to tell people about Islam, reminding one another. That is the way Islam is going to be preserved. That is why in the Hajjatul Wida, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people, Ala falyuballighu shahid minkum al-ghaib. Those who are present here today in the Medan of Arafah, in the plains of Arafah, you who are present, take this message and go and give it to those people who are not present. It is amazing that majority of the Sahaba are not buried in Makkah and Medina. Although today each and everyone wants to be buried in Makkah and Medina because of this responsibility. Khatme Nabuwat, when we say that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last of all prophets, it is not only a matter of faith, it is a matter of responsibility. Jab khatme nabuwat, ye sirf aqidah ka hissa nahi hai, ye hamare upar zimmedari aayid karte hai. Ki ye zimmedari hai ke Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ke baad koi nabi nahi, to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ke kaam aur Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ko deen ko lekar chalne wale yahi ummat hoga. It is their responsibility. Khatme nabuwat is not only an article of faith that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last of all prophets. It brings upon us a responsibility that after Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is no Nabi to come. And therefore, that responsibility is the responsibility of each and every ummati. It's not the responsibility of only the ulama. It's not only the responsibility of those who go out in khuruj or those who go out in jamaat. Har ek far ke zimme hai. It is a responsibility. And as I will go on to make mention, if we don't fulfill it, we are going to harm our deen. We're going to harm our deen. And it will harm the deen of our children. It will harm the deen of our future societies. That is the reality. And that is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Balighu anni walau ayah. Balighu anni walau ayah. If you know one ayat you know, go and tell someone else with regard to that ayat. Ek ayat agar aapko pata ho, ek ayat ko maan, us ayat ko lekar chalo, logo ko batao. Why? Not only for their sake, for your own sake. If you're going to tell it to others, naturally you are going to become strong on it. If you're not going to tell it, you might be able to survive, the next generation won't survive on Islam. This is a reality. And look at how the Sahaba then took it. Let me give you a small example of where the Sahaba are buried. Brothers, you won't imagine how when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, those who are present, go and take this message to those who are not present. Let me give an example. In amongst them, Samarkand. Samarkand is in Uzbekistan today. Where is that? Where is Makkah and Medina? Especially in that time when to travel was so difficult. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's cousin, Kuthum bin Abbas, is buried in Samarkand. Huh? Samarkand mein, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ke jo hai wo وہ کزن جو ہے نا نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے وہاں پہ دعوت اور تبلیغ کے سلسلے میں وہاں چلے گئے, وہاں پہ ان کا جو ہے قبر ہے. Amongst them, there is in the Indo-Pak, some continent, there is a place known as Panjgor. There the people tell us that five Sahaba came and they are buried there in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. In Nihawand, which is part of today, you know, Iran, Nu'man bin Mukrim, Amr bin Mahdi Karab, in Kastur, Bara ibn Malik, in Central Asian Republic, in Dagestan, Abdul Rahman ibn Samura, one of the Sahaba of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is buried where? He is buried in Dagestan. In Chechnya, Abdul Rahman bin Rabia al-Bahili, radiallahu ta'anu, buried where? Buried in Chechnya. In Turkey, the host of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he came to Medina in Munawwara, where did he stay? He stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari. Abu Ayyub Ansari, radiallahu ta'anu, is buried in Istanbul. That whole particular place where he's staying is known as Sultan Ayyub. And what did he tell the people when he was about to lose his life? What did he tell them? He told the Muslim army, he said, I'm most likely not going to live for a long time. The place where you are at the last place where you are, till that particular place, you go and bury me there. So they were buried, you know, trying to conquer Constantinople at that time, which is now Istanbul. They buried him, and today that has become part of Istanbul. The other Sahaba also buried in Turkey. That's a different matter. In Jordan, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, about one about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, A'alamuhum bil halali wal haram, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The one who knows most about halal and haram in my ummat is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He is buried in a mountain top in Jordan. Next to him is his son, Abdurrahman ibn Mu'adh. Right? On his qabr, the qabr of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, is written the hadith about which Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Ya Mu'adh, I love you. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. It is written on his qabr. Where? In one of the mountain tops of Mu'adh. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, radiallahu anhu, buried in Jordan, had the opportunity to go and visit his qabr. Shurahbil ibn Hasana, buried on the banks of the river of Jordan. Three Sahaba who took part in the battle of Muta, including the adopted son of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Zayd ibn Haritha, and then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's cousin, right? And then Abdullah bin Rawaha. They were buried where? They are buried on the border of Saudi Arabia and Jordan. They are buried in Muta. Palestine, outside the Masjid Aqsa, Ubadah ibn Samit, Shaddad ibn Aus, in Damascus, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu went to go and stay in Damascus after Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time to spread the deen. One day he sees a dream. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Oh Bilal, have you forgotten about me? You did not even come. And the reason why Bilal went, he couldn't bear it to be in Medina when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not alive. The next morning he went and he goes to Medina Munawwara. He goes there again, he gives azan. This time when he gives azan, he bursts down into crying because he couldn't bear the existence and staying in Medina without Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He comes back to Damascus. He's buried in where? Babu Saghir, the Qabristan in Damascus. We can go on in Hims, Khalid bin Walid, Fazal bin Abbas. Who's Fazal bin Abbas? He is the brother of Kuthum. Kuthum is buried in Samarkand. Fazal bin Abbas is buried here in Damascus, in the Hims. In Iraq, Huzaifa radiallahu ta'anhu, Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'anhu. Why did the Sahaba go to all of these places? Had it not been for their effort in going to all those places, people like you and I, many of us in different parts of the world, we would not have become Muslims. They sacrificed Makkah and Medina. They sacrificed the Mubarak environment because of this responsibility which Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had put upon them. فَلْيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ Those who are present, let them go and give the da'wat and go and give the message to those who are not present. That is why you and I are Muslims. Today we have forgotten this responsibility, my dear respected brothers. It is because of this that Islam had been in different parts of the world. Different Chechnya, Central Asian Republic, one of the places that it has been, I had the opportunity of going there in the past week or so, was Albania. Albania, Muslims came and Muslims remain. Right near in the heart of Europe, this was a country in which mention is made that there were 80% people who were there were Muslims. 80 or 90%. Now actually what happened, they were Muslims. They had been influenced by the Ottoman Empire. They remained Muslims. A time came when that particular country, the incident is a long one, I don't have the time. That particular country came under the influence of the communists. And there was a person by the name of, I think his name was Anwar Hoxha. He was the one who introduced officially that particular country, the official religion is atheism. There must be no sign of religion in Albania. That was the official government policy. Anyone who showed any signs of Islam, they were punished. They were sometimes executed. They were sometimes jailed. They were sometimes imprisoned. You could not keep Rosa there. You could not openly perform Salah. Masjids were closed. And that particular way, that particular place, which was a place where majority of the inhabitants were Muslims, they came under tremendous pressure and challenge. Many of those who were sincere, they remained steadfast upon Islam. They kept the Islam, in very difficult situations and very difficult circumstances. Mention was made, and I was there. They told us, he said, when a Muslim used to be, you know, he passed away, they used to make his janaza in the cow sheds, away from the gaze of people. جب مسلمان جو ہے وہاں پہ وہ ان کا انتقال ہو جاتا ہے تو جو ہے نا وہ غائبانہ طور پر اور لوگوں سے ہٹ کر جو ہے نا وہ ان کے جنازہ ادا کرتے تھے, کیونکہ اگر کھلم کھلا اگر کرتے تو نا حکومت کی طرف سے جو ہے نا سزا. دیٹ از دا وے دے پریزرو دی ریلیجن, اینڈ اٹ واز اے ویری ڈیفیکلٹ سچویشن فار دیم, بٹ آف کورس یو نو اٹ ہیڈ این امپیکٹ, اٹ ہیڈ این امپیکٹ اپون دیم دیٹ مینی آف دیم لاس دی ٹرک اینڈ لاس دی ریلیشن شپ وتھ اسلام. Especially when the government used to get people to spy on one another, teachers were required that if anyone showed any inclination, any child showed any inclination towards Islam, must be reported to the authorities that they could be taken to task. One amazing incident, and I will make mention of this incident and then tell you the lessons that we are supposed to learn from this. And one incident was, there was a person whom we met, and he was the person who is in the forefront of doing some of the great work that is happening in Albania. And his name was Jamal Duka. And his father was someone who was close towards Islam. But because they knew he was close to Islam, they used to, you know, keep a track on him. And to undermine him, they put him as a security guard in a liquor factory, in an alcohol factory. So this Jamal Duka's father was put in charge of being the security guard of an alcohol factory. Right? And, you know, he was telling us during the course of this, that in this very liquor and alcohol outlet, they used to bring Qurans throughout Albania, and they used to come and burn the Qurans in this particular place. And he was, you know, he was a security guard, and he said, I used to make dua. He said, my father used to make dua, that, Ya Allah, today this place is an alcohol factory. One day make it an Islamic center. Do you know, my dear respected brothers, during the course of this journey, I had the opportunity of laying the foundation at this very same place of an Islamic center that will be established, inshallah. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala, make it successful. The people who are there are putting up an Islamic center with a Darul Uloom and an Islamic school and an Islamic center that will be established. Make dua for it, assist where you can. Because at that place where there used to be an alcohol factory, today a foundation has been laid, inshallah, that will be there with regard to setting up what? An Islamic center. May Allah make it a means. And Allah reward all of those who are making this a possibility. Now obviously when people have been away from religion for such a long period of time, then of course they lose their track with and their identity with Islam. So it's a slow process. People have to be told, people have to be trained back again. I had the opportunity, which I even posted on the social media, of an elderly woman at the age of 80 learning how to read the Quran. Age of 80, she's learning back again how to read the Holy Quran. Subhanallah, this is a reality which is happening. And they have, not to say, you know, it is a place where they regard themselves as Muslims. The personal incident that happened, I was walking on the streets of Tirana. And when I was walking on the streets of Tirana, someone saw him looking like a Muslim. He came, and apparently he didn't have signs of a Muslim, and he came and he showed me on his hands. There was a tattoo of Allah on his hands. Most beautiful script in Arabic, Allah written on his hands. And he told me, Sheikh, is it permissible for me to keep this tattoo? Is it permissible for me to keep this tattoo? Should I keep it? Should I remove it? So I told him, it's not munasib, it's not appropriate. You are going to take this very same tattoo, you're going to go in the bathroom, try and remove it. But why? You ask yourself the question, why did he keep that tattoo? Why did he put Allah's name? He perhaps, he's not practicing, but why did he keep that name? Because he regards himself as a Muslim. And this is the point I'm going to make, my dear respected brothers, when I spoke about da'wah. If we do not make da'wah, if we do not emphasize and remind one another with regard to deen, then the very same situation can happen down the line to us also. We can never take deen for granted. Allah in the Holy Quran says, wal mu'minuna wal mu'minat ba'dhuhum awliya'u ba'd. Mu'minin, the believers, are helpers unto one another. They are protectors of one another. Musalman ek dusre ki haami hai. Ek dusre ki jo himayat karne wale aur madad karne wale kis haisiyat se? Ya'muruna bil ma'ruf wa yanhauna 'anil munkar. They help one another to do good. Wo ek dusre ki madad karte hain kis cheez mein? Neki karne mein, burai se bachne ke liye. Agar madad nahi karenge ek dusre ki to hum bhi jo hai tabah honge, hamare nasl bhi barbaad honge. If we are not going to remind one another and we are not going to help one another to do good and prevent one another from evil, then we will not be able to be steadfast on deen. Hum istiqamat par nahi rahenge. We will not be able to be a steadfast upon deen until we do not protect and help, encourage, give da'wah, speak to one another, help one another to be on deen, then the very same situation can be with regard to us. And therefore, my dear respected brothers, the point that I have made with regard to it is not to give karguzari with regard to this particular situation, is to take a lesson. Don't take deen for granted. Huh? Don't take deen for granted. And if you want to start off with the aspect with regard to da'wah, then where do you start from? Where do you start from? I read an ayat in the beginning. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَىٰ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Whose statement is better than the one who calls people towards Allah? The first point, Allah ki azmat bitao dilo mein logon ke. Let people realize the greatness of Allah. When people realize the greatness of Allah, they will realize the need for us to be able to obey the commands of Allah. If we don't understand the greatness of Allah, we don't understand whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then how are we going to see the need to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands? And that is why the first thing is to call people. And you see, it's a psychological impact, my dear respected brother. If you are calling people, if you are giving da'wat, then you are going to remain steadfast on it. In today's time, either you are giving da'wat or someone is going to give you da'wat. Either you are inviting people towards good or someone is going to invite you towards evil. That's a reality. And if you are going to keep on inviting, then you preserve the deen for yourself, psychological. And also when you give da'wat, you are fulfilling the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their situation and their call was to call people towards Almighty Allah. Qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allah. Tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, this is my way of life, to call people towards Allah. Ala basiratin, with basirat, with foresight. Ana wa man ittaba'ani. Me and those who follow me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam logon ko bataya ke mera jo hai na rah yahi hai ke Allah taala ki taraf bulana. Main aur wo log jo mere tabedar honge wo bhi yahi karenge, logon ko Allah taala ki taraf bulayenge. So it's our responsibility, my dear respected brothers. We learn from these experiences. If we don't do it, what will happen to us? What will be the consequences? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast. May Allah ta'ala keep us all the time calling people towards Allah so that we can be steadfast and make it a means of propagating and keeping others steadfast upon deen that will come to our benefit. And inshallah, it is also part of our responsibility. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. In this regard also, alhamdulillah, tomorrow after Asr at the Markaz, there is a special program on this particular responsibility to the professional class. Please, those who are, you know, the professional, the doctors, the lawyers and accountants, etc., there's a special program for them because this work has to be done by everyone. May Allah give us a tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.